Crystal. I'm one of the pastors on staff. If I haven't met you yet, we're just happy that you're here with us, whether you're online or here in the room. And I want to ask you this morning, how many of you have experienced doubt? All right. How many of you have been a little bit unsure about things? Like, I've been unsure that the person that has the bumper sticker that says honk if you love Jesus really loves me, as they were waving at me with their one finger driving by, right? Or a little unsure that 5 more minutes actually means 5 more minutes when my kids are trying to get out the door. Or unsure about our Beaver football team. And I'm very unsure that the simple recipe was written by someone who actually cooks. I've also been unsure about other things. I've doubted my ability to be a good mom, to be a good friend. I've been unsure about my calling. And I've even doubted God. And I've doubted that he loves me, that God is real. So what do we do with our faith when we are unsure? Can we even experience doubt? Is it okay? Is it allowed? Are we able to feel unsure? Does that mean then that we don't trust or that our faith is weak? So this 2-week series, Unsure, is going to help us see that doubt isn't the enemy of faith. It can actually be what takes you into a deeper relationship with God. So we're going to dive in these 2 weeks unpacking doubt and uncertainty. And let's just pray again real quick before we really dive in. God, thank you again for just the opportunity that we have to gather in your presence. So I pray this morning you help us to just kind of move distractions out of the way and just to lean in and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The first time that I can really remember experiencing doubt and looking around thinking, is this all even real? Is God with me? Was when after we lost our second baby in a miscarriage. And I remember this flooding sensation of, I don't know if God is real. I don't know if all of this that I've given my life to, I am unsure in this moment that God is real and that God loves me. And maybe I've been wrong about this whole time. And those thoughts scared me. I was kind of surprised by them. I felt maybe a little bit even ashamed or guilty that I was having those thoughts, that I was even experiencing doubt or uncertainty. I, at that time, was the wife of a pastor, was not a pastor yet, and I realized I've given my whole life to Jesus. I've been talking about this since I was 6 years old. Is it okay for me to doubt? Does this disqualify me? Does this mean I don't really believe in anything? And we all have reasons for our doubt. It could be that we have questions that we can't answer, and that's really hard for some of us. Maybe we are really concrete, black and white thinkers, and because there are things that we can't answer about God, that causes us to doubt. Or we face a difficult situation like my own, a situation that seems unfair, and it causes us doubt. Or we look around and we see what's happening across the world, and we see the things that are happening in our communities, and we wrestle with the goodness of God in the midst of it, and that induces some doubt that causes us to be a little bit unsure of things. We're going to see this morning that, again, doubt isn't the enemy of faith. It can be what takes you into a deeper relationship with God. So we're going to be looking at 2 stories this morning in the New Testament. Stories that are of doubt and uncertainty. And we're looking at 2 this morning, but really you can find many stories throughout the scripture that we'd say are our heroes of our faith that also experienced doubt and uncertainty. The first one we're going to be looking at this morning is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We'll have the scripture on the screen, but if you want to turn there in your Bible or your Bible app. And I'm just going to set up the scene for us this morning. There's a large crowd that's gathered. It's made up of disciples. It's made up of different people, teachers of the law. And Jesus is coming upon this crowd with a few of his disciples. And it's this big crowd, and they find that they're kind of arguing. And Jesus asks, you know, what's going on here? And a man says that he brought his boy to be healed. This boy had been possessed by a spirit, and he was unable to talk. It was causing all sorts of problems, and he needed to be healed. And the disciples were unable to heal him. So Jesus says, bring the boy to me. And the spirit sees Jesus coming, and it immediately throws the boy onto the ground, and the boy is convulsing. He's foaming at the mouth. It's a really difficult scene. And Jesus asks the Father, we'll pick this up. How long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to try to kill him. And the Father says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus responds, if you can. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. And the father responds, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. This swift reply, this cry from deep within, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And what does Jesus do? It says that he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. In this scene, we see something pretty clear, that faith and doubt can coexist in the same heart. You can hold both things in tension. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I am really sure about you and about this. Help me overcome my uncertainty. I don't doubt you, but I do have some doubts, and I need you to help me overcome. Can anyone else relate to this? We're being honest this morning. God, I believe you are good. Help me when I forget that you are good. God, I trust you. Help me to remember to trust you. God, I know that you are with me. Help me when I can't feel that you are with me. God, I have such a deep belief that I know you can accomplish all that you promised to. Help me overcome the feelings I get that doubt that this is true. God, sometimes I wonder if this is all even real. I know it is, but sometimes I'm just not sure. Can you help me overcome that? And I want you to hear this morning really clearly that our doubt is not a failure. Your doubt is not an indication of failure. So in this story specifically, I want us to notice that the doubt here that's expressed, it kind of hangs in the air. It didn't limit Jesus from doing what he was going to do. And it did not discount the faith that was present with this man. Jesus doesn't look at this guy and say, oh, I sense a little bit of doubt in you. Why don't you come back later and ask me to heal your son when you have a little bit more faith? He doesn't say, I'm not really seeing a whole lot of buy-in here. It's just half, you're kind of halfway. So hit me up later. Jesus meets this man right where he's at. Right where he's at. And what happened after he expressed his doubt, you know, the father, he doesn't keep it inside. Some of us, we on the outside are like, yeah, I believe in it inside. Well, not really. He tells Jesus. He says it. It's really clear. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. He's very honest. In this moment, he expressed his doubt, and what follows is the miracle that he'd been praying for. His honesty about his uncertainty made space for God to do something. His honesty about his doubt made space for God to do something, and Jesus wasn't afraid of this man's doubt. He wasn't threatened by his doubt. God is not threatened by our doubt. Our honesty and uncertainty makes space for God to actually do something. I picture doubt like a door stopper. We have these all over the church, help us keep the doors propped open. And a door stopper can do one of two things. They can get driven into, you know, the floor between the floor and the door really tightly, and they can make it really difficult if you're on the other side of that trying to open it, right? There's a lot of tension there, and sometimes you can't even open the door. It can just wedge it in there really tight and get stuck. Or it can prop a door open, right? We put these in, it makes it easier for people to move in and out, for us to move things around. So you put a door stopper in to open the door. And our doubt can either drive a wedge in our faith and make it really difficult to see God at work, can make it really difficult to move past or can close the door on our faith or for God to move in our life. Or it can prop the door open. It can be a way for God to enter, leading us to a deeper relationship. And that's what honesty does. Honesty opens the door for growth, which is why parents and as the church, I'm gonna specifically be talking to us for a moment, we have to become safe spaces for people to wrestle. We have to become safe spaces for people to wrestle with their uncertainty and their doubt. Maybe some of you grew up in families or in a church where questions were not allowed, where you were not allowed to question things. You weren't allowed to stir the pot or raise doubt. That caused fear in people, and so they just asked you to be quiet. This is how it is, don't ask questions. You weren't allowed to do any of that because it was maybe seen as a threat or as a lack of faith. If you have questions about this, where is your faith? There was fear in your parents or in your church that you were questioning things. And so you did not feel safe asking maybe some hard questions. And again, I'm gonna talk to the parents and grandparents here. Do not panic when your kids wrestle with doubt when it comes to faith. Do not panic. They might have some hard questions. Your kids might come to you with some hard questions. I know ours have, where I'm like, I don't have an answer for that, or I'm not really sure what to say to that. And it's okay. It's okay for you to not have an answer and not know what to say. It might make you uncomfortable. It might make you a little bit anxious. You might want to panic. But we have to let our kids wrestle with uncertainty. You don't need an answer. You just need to be a safe space. This is when you practice your listening ears. And church, we also have to stop panicking when people wrestle with doubt. When people come in the doors and they don't have all the answers and they have a lot of questions, we don't need to panic. When hard questions are asked, when things come up that maybe even feel like a contradiction to how you grew up or how you were understanding the Bible, whether that's creation theory or end times theory or cultural differences that inform faith differently than what you're used to, maybe convictions that you have, the church and the home should be the safest spaces to ask hard questions. Should be the safest spaces to ask hard questions, to express doubt and wrestle with uncertainty. It's not time to panic, it's just a time to process. Because doubt is not the enemy of faith. It can be what actually takes you into a deeper relationship with God. We're gonna see this in the second story this morning. We're gonna be looking at the story of Thomas. It's one of Jesus's disciples. And Thomas is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Thomas has the unfortunate nickname of Doubting Thomas, but I'm going to reframe his story for us today. He's one of the 12 disciples. This means he was close to Jesus. He's witnessed all the things, right? He has wandered and followed, and his whole life has been spent with Jesus, right? He gave up everything for Jesus. And he's journeyed with him and he's followed him. And we're going to look at what happens with Thomas after the resurrection of Jesus. So Jesus had died on the cross, but had risen from the dead, but he had not yet appeared to Thomas. And we're going to see what happens here with Thomas. I'm wondering as I'm reading this, where is Thomas on Easter morning? Right? All the other people, we're going to see that they're gathered, but I don't know, maybe he slept in. I don't know what's going on with Thomas, but Jesus had already appeared to some other people, but not yet Thomas. So we're going to pick up this story, John 20, 24 through 25 here at the start. So hasn't yet appeared to Thomas. He's seen other people, but this is the moment that we've been waiting for. Verse 24, now Thomas, now also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Again, we don't know where he is. So the other disciples, they told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You could say that Thomas here is a little bit unsure. Thomas has some doubts. Thomas is not about to take his very good friend's word for it. I think that Thomas both wants proof, but I think he's also eager to just experience Jesus the same way that his friends have. I think he has both belief and some unbelief, some certainty and some uncertainty. I think it's easy to skip over the fact that the only disciple that believed without seeing was the beloved disciple. Everybody else, Mary and the others, had already seen the risen Lord. Thomas is just out here asking what the others have already received, an actual encounter with Jesus. So earlier in the Gospel of John, a little bit of more backstory on Thomas, when Jesus was heading to Bethany to see his friend Lazarus, who had died, it's Thomas that said that they should all go with him, with Jesus, that they may die with him. The fate that was awaiting Jesus, Thomas is actually preparing himself for, and he's preparing others. He's saying, This is what we should be preparing ourselves for. So if Thomas's doubt was an enemy of his faith, I don't think that he'd have said that. This was a really bold loyalty that Thomas is expressing here. And then John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples about preparing a place for them. And he says, you know the way to the place that we're going. And Thomas pipes up, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how could we know the way? It's like, sorry, did we miss something here? We're not sure where you're talking about. How do we know the way to get to where you're going if we don't even know where you're going? Thomas has questions, but Thomas is not afraid to ask them. Thomas is very honest with his questions. Jesus, I am with you. I am sure all the way to your death. I just need some help with these other things. Does anyone else feel that way? I am with you. I'm just a little bit unsure about some of this. See, Thomas isn't really doubting Thomas. Thomas is wrestling Thomas. Thomas is eager Thomas. Thomas is human. Thomas has deep faith and doubt. And Jesus, once again, meets him right there. Let's take a look at how Jesus responds to Thomas in John 20, 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. So this is a week later, Thomas is back. His doubts and his uncertainty, they did not derail him, right? Thomas could have been like, yeah, I didn't see this happen, and so I'm out. But it didn't derail him. Church, when you have doubts, when you have uncertainty, when you are unsure about things, do not let that keep you from continuing to show up. Do not let that keep you from continuing to come to church on Sunday, to show up in your life group, to show up in serving and engaging in the spiritual practices. Keep showing up, even with your hurt, even with your uncertainty, even with your doubt. Keep showing up. Keep leaning in. Wedge that door stopper in. And get really honest with God, because he can work with that. The next part, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. That would be a moment, right? Though the doors were locked, all of a sudden Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." I'm thinking because they probably had a look of panic on their face. Then he said to Thomas, so he just singles out Thomas, looks at Thomas and says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Thomas, I see you. Thomas, I see your doubts. I see your uncertainty. I see the spots where you are unsure. I am meeting you right here, right where you're at. Come to me." So Thomas is in this room. Jesus is just there. And again, Jesus doesn't shame Thomas. He doesn't pull Thomas aside and say, "Thomas, I heard what you said. I heard that you were really struggling with some doubt. I'm super disappointed in you." He doesn't say that. He doesn't push Thomas away, like ignoring him to talk to the other group of people. Because Thomas's doubts did not disqualify him from the love of Jesus. And he moves towards Thomas. And we don't actually know if Thomas did what he said. Just seeing Jesus and hearing him say those words might have been enough for Thomas. But then Jesus says to him, "Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." See, Thomas is a representative of the future readers of the gospel, which include us, who, like him, will be asked to believe without first seeing and touching the Lord. Thomas, in all of his humanity, his doubts and realism and wrestling, he eventually becomes a significant person in the early church. Thomas just doesn't fade away into the background. Again, Jesus sees him in all of his doubts and all of his uncertainty, and it really could be easy to be like, "Okay, I'm gonna send all the rest of you out on the way. I'm gonna have you spread the gospel across the world, but you have a little bit of doubt, and I'm not really sure that you're the best guy I wanna put, you know, forward. We're gonna hang you back here. You're gonna learn some things. And once you're really all in, then I'm gonna let you go out and testify about me and about what I have come to bring." He doesn't do that. He sends Thomas on his way with the rest of them. It's believed that Thomas traveled to India around 52 AD and began preaching about Jesus, starting churches all over. Around 72 AD, he was told to stop preaching, but he didn't. He refused and he was killed. His doubts did not close the door. He gave his life for the good news of Jesus. A deeper relationship came. And because only someone with that depth of relationship would give their actual life for Christ, right? If his doubts were a disqualifier, I don't think that he would have given his life for Christ. Thomas allowed his doubt to be a wedge, allowing the door to stay open for God to move in, to expand not just his faith, but the faith of others. If I were Thomas, I would be sure in telling this story with a lot of people, right? I would be telling this story to everybody. "Hey, I had this doubt, and I was not sure, and then Jesus showed up, and he showed me who he was, who he really was. He met me right there." That kind of honest faith, that's compelling to people. If I had stood up here and told you that I never had a doubt, that I never doubt today, how easy would it be for you to relate to me? "Oh, I've got it all figured out, guys. It's fine. It's you guys are the ones who have a problem." It's not very relatable, right? It might not even come across as very trustworthy. But I can stand up here and say, "I have doubt. I've experienced doubt. I have uncertainty." When people tell you they have all the answers, it kind of comes across like, "I don't know. Is that a picture perfect faith? I don't know if I can have that. I don't know if I'm there yet." It's hard to relate to. It's hard to trust. Thomas had a real story to share. "But guys, I have experienced doubt, but I was honest in my doubt, and Jesus met me there, and my life has been forever changed." And that good news spread across the world. Honest doubts, how God meets him there. And I have the same thing. And you can have the same thing. This morning, we are going to be moving in a little bit to a time of communion again today, just trying something new to take communion, to receive communion together a little more often than we have. But I don't know about you, I think that one of the next steps that we can take together this morning is to ask ourselves a question. And we might all be at different spots in our faith. And for some of us, you know, the doubts come and go. That's my story. And I'm going to ask you to just pick one of these prayers this week to pray and this morning. The first is that maybe you feel unsure today. Maybe you're unsure. Your faith maybe feels really fragile. And you're not sure where you land on some things. You pick up your scriptures and you're like, that part I get, this part I definitely don't get. But you want to believe. You want to go all in. And so your prayer today is simply, Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. For others, maybe you're carrying doubt or disappointment. And today, you just need to be honest about it. Maybe you've kind of tucked those things away. And today, you just need to stop pretending that it's not there. Just be real about it. And remember that you don't have to have it all figured out first to give your life to Jesus, to point your feet in the direction of Jesus. You do not have to have it all figured out. Jesus meets you right where you are. Honesty opens the door. Honesty is what opens the door for God to do a deeper work. So your prayer today is, Lord, use my doubt as an open door into a deeper relationship with you. I'm gonna give you my doubt. I'm gonna be really honest with you about it, but I don't want that to keep this relationship closed. I want a deeper relationship with you, so I'm gonna be really honest about it, and I'm gonna give all of this to you. And maybe today you're in a season where you're really just burdened for someone in your life. You're burdened for a son or a daughter or a grandchild, a spouse, a loved one or a friend or a coworker, and they've kept that door closed to God. And you want to pray that both, that the Spirit would move in their heart for wisdom, and you want to pray for how you can walk faithfully and patiently alongside them. Be in a safe space where they can wrestle with their doubts and their questions, not feeling like you have to have an answer. Not feeling like you have to say, I know exactly what you're feeling and here's the answer for it. Just saying, yeah, I have questions too. I have some doubts and uncertainty too. I'm here to wrestle it out with you. Lord, help those I love overcome their unbelief. And that's your prayer this morning. I know I have people in my life that I'm praying this for. So we are gonna receive communion together this morning. And I'm going to invite you to receive your elements, but I'm also going to invite you, if you feel led, to use the altar space again this morning. And if you're unsure about what communion is, there's a slide up there, and then we also have some cards that are on the tables. There's two tables on the floor and two tables at the top, just to look at and be reminded what it is or if you have questions about it. See, Jesus met Thomas and the father of the boy that he healed right where they were. And in their uncertainty, in their doubts, in their questions, and in their longing to believe. And that's what happens for us too when we receive communion. Jesus meets us right there. Jesus meets us right where we are at, in our faith, in our belief and our unbelief, in our doubt and in our certainty, in our confidence and in our questions. He comes close. Communion is a means of grace. It's a sacred moment where the Holy Spirit makes Christ present among us. In the same way Jesus met Thomas in the upper room, he meets us here at the table. And we take the bread and the cup and we remember his death. And we receive his grace in the present and we look forward to the day that he will come again. So if you're new here, communion is for all who confess that Jesus is Lord. And if you're unsure about that part today, you are welcome to just sit and spend time reflecting, praying those prayers in your honesty of like, I'm just not sure. But you can also choose to receive Christ as your Savior even now. So the worship team is going to lead us in a song. I'm going to invite you to receive your elements. And you can, again, take them to the altar. You can take them back to your seat. And when you're ready, you can drink the cup and eat the bread. And then after the song, I'll come back up to dismiss. But this morning, I just want us to be honest. honest about our doubts, honest about our uncertainty, honest about the burden that we carry for other people. And recognizing that maybe our doubts have caused us in the past to feel shame, and that's not from God. And maybe our doubts have caused us to feel like we are disqualified from calling ourselves a believer. We're disqualified from serving. We're disqualified from a whole lot of things, and that's just not true. Jesus meets you right where you're at, and he can take those doubts and turn them into something deeper, a deeper relationship. I know that in my own seasons of doubt, what's happened when I've allowed this to open the door is God has met me there and has done such transformative work that I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I had not just allowed God to wrestle those doubts with me. So I'm praying that for you, for our church this morning, and for those of us who are struggling to know how to walk alongside someone who has those same doubts and questions. It's not a time to panic, it's just a time to process. So I'm gonna pray and then invite you to receive your elements, and then I'll be back up after the worship team leads us. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I'm just so grateful that you're a safe space, that I can wrestle with my uncertainty, that I can wrestle with my doubts, that I don't have to have it all figured out. And that we are lifelong learners, pointing our feet in your direction and asking you to meet us right where we are at. Trusting that you will, trusting that you won't leave us where we're at, that you're always doing a work in us. So I pray, Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. When seasons are hard, when circumstances are difficult, when things in the world feel too chaotic and too messy for anything good to happen, I have to surrender and say, help me overcome my unbelief. And God, for those that I am so burdened with, friends and loved ones and family that have so many doubts and have so many questions, but they're allowing them to stay behind and not take that next step. That they have to have it all figured out before they take a step. And so this morning I'd pray that for their spirits and their hearts, God, that you would just do a work only the Spirit can do. And then for those of us that's our story, that you would help us to be patient and faithful as they wrestle. Safe spaces, both in church and in our homes, because we trust you and we trust that you're able to do a work that we can't do, that we can't manufacture. And we thank you for the love that you gave us, your death on the cross and your resurrection for this new life. It's in your name we pray, amen.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to today's sermon from Life Community Church. We hope it sparked something in you. Maybe a thought, a challenge, a next step, or even a few questions you're still turning over. If you've ever left a sermon thinking, I wish I could ask about that, then you're going to want to check out our follow-up podcast. Each week, we take questions submitted after Sunday service, questions sparked by the sermon, and we dig into them right here. Some might be practical, some a little more theological, and some might even make you laugh, but the goal is always the same, to give you space to think, reflect, and stay curious as you grow in your faith. So head over to the follow-up and catch our next episode, where your questions from today's sermon could get answered. It's a safe space, conversational, and yes, sometimes a little fun. Don't sit on those questions. Bring them to the table and let's explore them together. We'll see you there.